right, if you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 4, we are studying through the book of 1 Samuel. Of course, last week we looked at chapter 3 and we saw 2 and 1, but God had established a relationship with Samuel. He became a prophet of the Lord, and Samuel had believed, he obeyed God. The Bible reads, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." So Samuel was somebody who was focused on the things of the Lord. Of course, you remember how all that happened. Hannah was barren. She prayed to the Lord, and God answered her prayer. She made a vow, said, "I'll give my son to you if you'll give me one." And of course, God did. He answered that prayer, and she kept her vow and gave that child to Eli to raise. Now, Eli's probably not the best person to give your child to raise, but remember, God is in this whole thing, and we're going to see more of that right now in just the next few moments. So, you know, it's important that we understand what God wants to do in our lives as well, and He has a plan for each one of us. And really, part of that plan is that we might help others to see Jesus Christ. If we think about that, I was just looking at some statistics. This is from Dr. M.R. DeHaan. He once quoted, now these are old figures. He said, after the age of 35, only one person in 50,000 receives Christ. After the age of 35, only one person in 50,000 receives Christ. After 45, only one in 300,000. And after 75, only one in 700,000. Is converted. And so we think about that and we realize that Samuel, he demonstrated that childlike faith. And the Bible teaches us that's how we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, is with childlike faith. And it's demonstrated here in these statistics that we see that the older you get, the harder it is to accept Christ. Now, I'm not saying, and these are old, I don't even know how accurate they are. This is something he came up with, but I believe there's a lot of truth in this. Very few people, when they get older, they have already depended on themselves, made it through their life, and they just, I can take care of things. I'm all set, as the folks say often when you talk to them. So anyway, let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's begin reading. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll look at the rest of the chapter. It says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." Okay. "And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubs. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said," now I just lost my place, excuse me, "'what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing there heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.' And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled, every man to his tent. And there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the book of Samuel here. And as we continue to study this, and we see your plan for Israel, and of course, your plan for Samuel, and what he has done and what he will do as we continue to go down through the pages here. But Father, we see that really all this happened because here was a young man that was focused on you, a young man that wanted to obey you and do that which was your command. Father, help us all see that, how important that is. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, as we see, this Israel's in battle. The battle was with the Philistines. Now, remember, they're thinking back probably to the days of Joshua. When Joshua crossed the River Jordan, God said, I'll be with you. Be strong of good courage. I'm going to deliver all this to you. And so they think maybe they can stand up against these Philistines. Now, the Philistines have been around for a while. The word Philistine comes from a word meaning migratory. The people are thought to come from the Aegean region that invaded the territory of Phoenicia. And of course, from the time of Abraham, the Israelites had contact with these folks. And so they've been around for a long time. In fact, Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, and he dwelt in Philistine. And when the Israelites took the promised land, they were right in the middle. The Philistines were right in the middle there of the battle. And really, this is, again, the reason they're having problems with the Philistines is because they didn't do what God said when Joshua was take and conquer the land. Do you remember that? What didn't they do? They didn't obey God by driving out all the people and taking care of business. They left them there in the land. And because of this, this has come back on them. In other words, again, we see how just if we obey 90% is not enough. We need to obey 100% of what the Word of God says. When God tells us and shares with us to do something, and it's He that does this, we ought to follow through. Because that's where the blessings come from in the Christian life. Here we see Joshua, he did not do this, and because of this, they really found themselves in a bad way, and because they didn't go through the battle and win the folks over and stuff. I thought I had it right there, but I don't. Where he went in and left those people in the land. And so, again, that's something for us to understand and for us to take heed to. So here the Israelites were in Ebenezer, which is about 3 miles from Aphek. And they were in array set for battle. The Philistines were there against them, and so they went out to fight them. And when they did, of course, remember, here in 1 Samuel, it told us that there was no open vision. And the word of God was precious. What that means is God was not talking to Israel at this time. Samuel, he heard the Lord, and he was following the Lord. Remember when Samuel was called those three times where he said, he heard the Lord and ran to Eli and said, here am I. And Eli told him, says he perceived that it was of the Lord, because he didn't hear the Lord. He was apart from God. He was walking apart from the things of God. And we understand this. And the warning was given to Eli and his sons that they ought to follow God. They would not. They profaned the things in the temple. And God was not happy with them. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. This is a true statement. This is what happened to Israel over and over and over and over again. It happens today in Christianity over and over and over again. Is that we don't look to God and trust Him. We think about things and make up our mind and do it our way. And that does not please God. And that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to die, but it means you're going to be out of fellowship with the Holy God. And that is a big deal. So He told us the word of the Lord was precious. Really what that meant, it was not available. So with no help from God, they went to battle again and lost 4,000 men right here. And then verse 3, we see there's an idea. Someone says, hold it, I got an idea. This sounds pretty good. It says, and when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So this idea is a great idea. And if we take the Ark of the Covenant, you know, where did God meet with the children of Israel? You remember? Help me, somebody. Tabernacle, that's right. In the Holy of Holies. And He met with them where the Ark of the Covenant was, right? And so in their mind, what are they thinking? Well, God is with this item, this material thing that they have. Yes, it was set apart to God. Yes, it was holy. But is that God? Not at all. And so we see here, they got this great idea. They're thinking, boy, if we get this, we can go and we can win every battle or whatever. So here they perceive that God was chastening them. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do some of his commandments." You know that word is not some, don't you? You know it's all. "All of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And verse 25 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." So God had already told them through Moses that these things were going to happen if they didn't trust the Lord thy God with all their heart. These were going to happen. So they got the ark, and they thought it would protect them, thought it would give them victory. Now, the ark was the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle. It was in the Holy of Holies. It contained the two tablets of the law, a bowl of manna, a budding rod of Aaron. And on top of it was the mercy seat. And, of course, there was where they did the blood atonement every year. So the point is that they were thinking, this is what's going to save us. So they were in a position of spiritual blindness. They could not see God. There's Christians today that are in the same place. They cannot see God. Why? Because they are disobeying God. It happens to all of us if we're not careful, if we let it go on and keep continuing down that path. But God, he doesn't want that to happen in our lives. He wants us to go back and look at him, help us to understand him. That's why it's important that you read the Word of God. That's why it's important that you pray to God. That's why it's important you come to church. Because God established the church to do this. And so these things are set up. God set them up. We didn't. And it was for the purpose of helping folks to understand. You know, there's so many folks today that they think that their sacrifices or their good luck charms are going to save them. What it is, they have no discernment. They have no idea what God really wants them to do because they're just not walking with him. And it's easy to happen. Every one of us. I've seen people, you've seen people, that have been faithful to church, maybe in this church over the years, and maybe no longer, and of course, it's probably been a long time, they just don't come to church anymore. Now, one or two things have happened. Either they were lost and didn't know Christ as their Savior, or two, they're so far backslidden, they can't even see or remember they were forgiven of their sins, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. And that means they're backslidden in a backslidden condition, so God is not answering their prayers, and God is trying to help them and encourage them, and yet, they will not listen. So here we see the ark. Now, who's with the ark here? In verse 4 says, "So the people sent to Shiloh that they may bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the host which dwelleth between the cherubs. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant." Back in chapter 2, go to verse 34 there. This is God talking, and he's sharing with Samuel. He says in verse 34, says, "And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons of Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." God has prophesied through Samuel to Eli that this was going to take place. Why? Because of what they were doing, profaning the things of God. The Bible teaches us that we're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body, right? In our soul. If we're not doing that, you know what we're doing? What are we doing? Greg, what are we doing? Huh? I'm sorry. Sinning or profaning God because we're not following him and walking with him. And so it's important that we put this on and understand that God is the same God in 1 Samuel that he is today in 2018. Same God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a second. I'm going to go ahead and hold my place here because if I don't, I'll spend 2 hours trying to find it. No, I'm just kidding. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is, again, a warning, and we've mentioned this many times. Did I say 2? How about 3? I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a pastor, and these are one of the pastoral epistles, and he's reminding him to encourage people because this is what's going to happen. It was going to happen in Timothy's day, and it's going to happen today, and has happened today. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." We know what that is, do we not? What is that? What is that speaking of? That's right. Exactly. And it's rampant today. He says they're truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so he's talking about that in our society today, there are people who have a form of godliness. And they're not walking with God, but they put on the facade. They show up at the church, they shake your hand, they greet you, but there's no substance in their Christian walk. And it's evident by how they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, we need to be different from these people. And I'm, you know, the closer I get to the Lord or more I get in age and study the Bible, believe it or not, I find that, and maybe it's bad, but I'm finding that things are a little bit more dogmatic. They're getting a little bit more narrow. You ever look down a railroad track and stood at the end? What does it look like? Do you remember? I'm sorry? That's right. It starts going like this. And I think that's what the Christian life has for in store for us as we continue to live. Now, I'm not talking about we should not witness to the lost and we shouldn't encourage them. But we as Christians ourselves ought to be more like Christ. Christ is there at the end of the line. He's not this wide, but he's there right there. And as we continue to grow, we become more like Christ. We are less of what we are by nature, and it changes our lives. It does make a difference. Who you spend time with, who you, where you go, those things make a difference. What you wear, all of that thing, all those things change. And the problem with Christianity today is we don't believe the old doctrines. We say we do, but the church is right following the world, just right behind them. Whatever the world allows, if it gets more wicked, more, the church just gets a little bit closer to them. Or stays about the same, but they get more wicked and more worse. Why is that? Because we are in the world and we're focused on the things of the world instead of focused on Christ. Because when you focus on Christ, you're going to become more narrow, not just because you're walking with Christ, but because the world is getting more wicked. And that's what God wants to do in our lives, and he has a purpose for that. So anyway, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. So we see again that the ark was inspiring Israel. Look at verse 5. It says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang out. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. So now they're getting a little nervous. Why? Because they too, like Israel, think that God is with the ark. And the Philistines, verse 7, were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. Why were they afraid? Because they had heard the past history and how God had delivered Israel out of Egypt. You know, God has done a great work in a Christian's life. Salvation, and then trying to guide us and direct us into his way of living. And yet, sometimes people think, oh, you're a Christian. You're supposed. Anybody ever heard anybody say to them, that's not Christian-like? Well, that hurts. I mean, I tell you, I remember I was working one day and I jumped on a guy and said some things. And another guy was behind me. He tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, Bruce, that's not Christian-like. He was right. I had to tell him I was sorry. He was absolutely right. But see, that's what the world sees sometimes. They don't see that you're serving a holy God, but they see what you do wrong. And they're looking for you to do wrong and make mistakes. And so they, at first, they understand. You tell them you're a Christian, I'm born again, and you tell them those things, but the way you walk needs to match your talk. Or otherwise, they'll be just like the Philistines. Because you see, as the Philistines go on, verse 8 says, woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. The Israelites were under the Philistines and serving them. And he says, we don't want that. We want to put them back under under our hand. And verse 10 says, the Philistines fought and Israel was smitten and they fled every man into his tent. There was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. So again, we see that Israel was inspired because of an ark. The Philistines heard the shout and they were afraid because they heard the Philistines. And they thought, well, oh, this is surely God is here. God's going to do something. And here's the verse I was looking for. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 13, he says, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you." That, when Joshua spoke those words, they were prophetic even today. Israel has struggled all these years to be in the land that God gave them. Now, we know that's not going to be accomplished until the kingdom of God is in place in the millennial reign. But the fact is because of disobedience, they're being persecuted. Everybody over there that's the Arab countries, they want to annihilate them. They want to destroy them. They can't do it because the God in heaven won't let them. Because still, there's a remnant. There's still people who want to serve God and follow God. So here we see this taking place and see what's happened in their lives. And so the ark was taken. Verse 11 says, "The ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas were slain." So the prophecy came through that Samuel would receive from the God that Eli and Phinehas would die, Hophni and Phinehas would die. And so it took place here. Now they got the ark. This is the first time the ark has ever been out of the hand of God's people. And they just took it and stole it. And why could they even do that? Because God was not with that ark. God was not there. Because if God was, he wouldn't have let that happen. So they were careless. And it was because they were not talking to God. Isaiah 59 tells us, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous." And again, that's folks who are saved, and they are trying to serve God, and they're doing it in a righteous way, not walking apart from him and running from him. So here we know that the word of God didn't return void. Eli's sons were dead. Eli, verse 12 on down, says, "And there was a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh, and the same day, and his clothes rent, with earth upon his head. And when he came to lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, 'What meaneth the noise of this tumult?' And the man came in hastily and told Eli." Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy son, two sons, also Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by his side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. So here again, we see, prophetically speaking, and God told Eli, too, that his sons would never, ever be in the priesthood again. They would be begging for bread when they come. This is all prophesied in the Bible. So God's word, it's revealed. God's word has come true again. And we're about out of time, but if you go on down, Phinehas's wife died. She was with child, and when she heard the news, she died. And of course, the child, when she had the child, she called it Ichabod, and the name Ichabod means glory is departed from Israel. And what that means is God is no longer with Israel. And it's something that we need to take heed. We can't just take our things and think God is with us. We can't just put on the facade and think God is with us. We can't try to say the right words and do the right things and think God is with us. God is with us when we're with him, when we're walking with him. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they do what?" Okay, follow me. That's the most important thing you can do in your Christian life, because everything else will fall into place if you'll do that. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do, again, thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here again. Father, help each one of us to take on the challenges that you have given to us in your scripture, that each one of us needs to look to you, realizing there are things in our lives that we just haven't surrendered or given up yet, that we still struggle in some areas. Father, asking you for the strength to accomplish that which you would have your will to be in our lives. Well, thank you for it now. In Jesus' name.